May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. The joyful season, a day is coming, from Isaiah chapter 2. One Sunday after church, a mother was talking to her young daughter. She was teaching her that according to the Bible, Jesus would return to the earth someday. "When's he coming back?" the daughter said. "I don't know," the mother replied. The daughter scrunched up her little face and said, "Mom, can't you Google it?" Another little girl visited her grandmother and was outside when she confidently declared, as she pointed up to fluffy clouds, "Look, look, Jesus is coming back just like that, and he's going to take us all to Florida." Disney World, no doubt, right? This is the first Sunday of Advent. I think this is a very important season for all Christians. And whoever came up with it, the early Christians must have come up with it. It's important. It has a powerful lesson to teach us in our day and time. Advent is a season when we look backward to the birth of Jesus Christ, and we look forward to his coming back again. Most of the time, Advent is pretty much swallowed up by Christmas. And I don't think that's particularly wrong. Christmas is a significant event for us as Christians as we think about Jesus Christ coming into the world. A Savior is born for the whole world. I love Christmas, and I think we should celebrate it with all our hearts. But we need Advent. God intervened in a spectacular way at that first Christmas, but he's going to do it again when he comes back. Most of the rest of this sermon today, I'm going to tell you why this second coming is vitally important, practically important to us here and now, in our living right now. Theologians have a funny word to describe the Advent season and its meaning. They use the term called realized eschatology. Realized eschatology. Eschatology is the study of last things, of the end times. The end of your life, the end of the world, Jesus' return, and final judgment. With Jesus coming the first time, God established his kingdom on earth. With all the evil in the world, it doesn't appear to be here, but it is here. It is a real kingdom. We pastors generally use the concept now but not yet. God's kingdom is now here, but in its full display, it's not yet here. Therefore, as Christians, we are to live with a realized eschatology. In other words, we're to live as if Christ's kingdom were already established, and it is established. We are to live as if the ideal were present now. Instead of a president, instead of dictators, and that God's kingdom is here and now. If it is here and now, as we believe, where is it? Where is God's kingdom? It's in the hearts and minds of every believer. He reigns here. He reigns in your hearts. And we acknowledge that his kingdom has come. It's a realized eschatology. For much of the world, this kingdom is invisible. They can only perceive it through us when we shine and when we display the love and light of the kingdom through our words and actions. We make God's kingdom evident. But you and I who believe in Jesus, who have him reigning in our hearts and call him Lord and King, we also live in this dark world. It can beat the joy right out of us. It can cause our hope to be crushed. It can take the fight out of us and cause us to throw up our hands and believe that all is lost. And this is why Advent is so important. The one who is greater in us, the one who is in us is greater than the one who opposes us. That is, Jesus reigns in our hearts, and he is greater than Satan and all the evil in the world. Now, Isaiah the prophet lived in tumultuous times. More than any other prophet in the Old Testament, he foresaw the coming of Jesus Christ and all that it would mean. God gave him powerful visions of the coming and work of the Savior of the world. Context is all important in understanding his message. In Isaiah's time, little Judah was threatened first by the incredibly violent Assyrians and the equally violent and perhaps even more cruel the Babylonians, at least what they did to the Jews. Judah was all that was left of Israel. It really amounted to just Jerusalem and a few fortified cities. We would have a hard time imagining what the Babylonians would finally do to the Jews in Judah. The barbaric savagery was monstrous. To give you an idea of what it was like, it would be as if the United States was invaded, with most of the population killed by either bombing or bullets or starvation or disease or, yes, mass suicide. And the rest of the population deported to another continent. This is, in essence, what happened to Judah. We can't even imagine how horrible that would be. Isaiah had warned his people about their idolatry and their immorality. He warned them that a day was coming, a day of judgment. I think America and every nation on earth is being warned about their idolatry and their immorality. And a day is coming, sadly, a day of judgment. But this prophet Isaiah also spoke of another day that's coming, a day of hope, a day when a judge, a king would come and put everything right, who would destroy the works of the devil and cast out all evil. And that's what we saw in our lesson today from Isaiah. Now, tradition tells us that Isaiah was sawed in two. But in truth, he remained in a kingdom that has no end. So what does Isaiah's words mean for us today? How do we practically and fundamentally live in this day, at least according to Isaiah's words? Well, let me start with a kind of surprising illustration. I hope it fits. In 1964, legendary announcer Harry Carey, who served with five baseball teams as an announcer, 25 years with the St. Louis Cardinals. On this day in 1964, he screamed to St. Louis fans, "I can't believe it! Roger Craig hit the left center field wall." I'm not doing a Harry Carey very well. But the Cardinals are going to win the pennant. Harry Carey was right. The Cardinals would win the pennant. But what makes his statement particularly interesting is when he said it. He said it the fourth game of the season in this tremendous feat by this baseball player. Harry Caray saw what was going to happen. Isaiah, in much of the Old Testament, looks ahead, most of the Word of God, looks ahead to what's going to happen. With Jesus' coming, he saw a precursor that all the wrong in the world, all the evil in the world, was destined to be put away. And he says, as does all the Bible, lift up your eyes. See what's coming and what it can mean for you right now. I recast John 3:16 just a little bit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not panic, but have everlasting life. Nothing that happens into this world can change the fact that Jesus died for us, that he rose for us, that he saved us, that he redeemed us, and that he promises us eternal life as a continuing citizen of his kingdom. Nothing can change that fact for us. Now, someone has said that Christmas is the season of childhood, and Advent is the season of maturity. When we're young, it's easy to believe that they lived happily ever after. With the passing of time, things happen, don't they? Things we have not liked in our lives. There has been divorce, bankruptcy. There have been accidents. There have been setbacks and disappointments. There's been alienation from people in our families, perhaps, with others. Yes, with the passing of time, it's difficult to sustain blind optimism. The death of optimism is the birth of Christian hope. There comes a time in our life when we just cannot cope alone. There are also times when it seems that evil is in control, that God is absent, that prayers are not being answered, that all is lost. These are the times when we have to lift up our eyes and fix them on Jesus and on his promises. These are the times when it's most important to come to church, to hear the Word of God again and again and again, and then to be around other Christians who can encourage us, uphold us, make us strong again. Advent people rely on Jesus. Rely on the promise that he'll be with us to the very end. Advent people never take their eyes off Jesus. Yes, we're to lift up our eyes, and then we're to bring our lives in tune with our God. The last verse of our scripture today, I think, is important, an important invitation. O house of Judah, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And when I saw that verse, I immediately went and thought about what the Gospel of John told us. Jesus said, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. That's John 12:46. And it's speaking to us. Let us walk in the light. Let us align our lives with God's will. This begins with repentance. I want you to think, how are you living right now that is contrary to know what is God-pleasing? Oh God, give us eyes to see how we're still living in darkness in some areas of our life, how we stepped into darkness, how we've continued, whatever, for whatever reason, to excuse the fact that we're living contrary to the way God would want us to live. Whatever part of our life, you know, we're good at compartmentalizing our lives, aren't we? I'm mainly going with God, but not in this area. What is that area where we're still in the shadows, still in the darkness? God says, come into the light. Align yourself with my will for you, and it will go well for you. Let's face it, we're in a spiritual battle every day, aren't we? I think so. Now deceased comedian George Carlin was on the Imus radio program, and he told of growing up with his Irish father, who fought a drinking problem all of his life. When George grew up and found his own drinking problem, he went into detox and dried out. He came out as proud as a peacock and told his father, I've beaten the drink. Carlin said he never forgot his father's reply. He said, George, boy, you're sober, and that's wonderful. But there's still your marriage. There's still your kids. There's your job to deal with. The monkey may be off your back, but the circus is still in town. I can see why he's remembered that all his life, right? Because that's true. Listen, life can be really hard. And life can throw a lot of curves at us. The circus still is in town. But God has promised never to desert us. He said, I'll send my spirit to you. You know, there was the other spirits, but I'll send you the spirit that will help you more than cope with life. Surpass it. A day is coming when Jesus will return. Our duty is to hold on, to endure, to fix our eyes on Jesus. A day is coming. So let us live in the light. Let us banish the darkness of sin from our lives. Let us repent and fight our temptations. Fight the sin in our life. Refuse any longer to live in places of darkness. We are Advent people, and we know that day is coming. Eyes on Jesus, living in the light, now and always. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.